Okay. Maseches Menachos, Lama Dalet Amud Bet. At the top of the page, it should say Tana Rabbanan, Litotefet. Everybody see it? You on the right side of the page? Yes, you are. This is towards the beginning of the third parak of Menachos. No, it's not. It's towards the end of the third parak of Menachos. Sorry, Menachos is amongst other things. Obviously, it's in Seder Kodshim. So, it has a lot of kachim in it. But what it's probably more famous for, Lamaisa, is all the halachas of Stam, Sifrei Torah, and Tfilin, and Tzitzis, and Tcheles, and Mezuzah, and all that stuff. So right before this actually was a whole sugya about Mezuzah. And here is a sugya that begins most of the halachot of Tfilin. We're actually not even going to see all of them, because we're gonna stop in the middle a little bit. But this is where many, many, many of the halachos of Tefillin come from, especially the sugya of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So when we get up to that, I'll let you know, and then you'll tell me everything you know about Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, and then we'll see how little you all know about Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Okay? All right.
I know it.
Tana Rabbanan. Litotefet, litotefet, litotafot. Harekan, Dalid, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einu Tzarich, Tat v'katfi shtayim, pat v'afrike shtayim. All right, what's the subject over here? What are we talking about? What are we trying to figure out?
How much repetition in the words.
What's the point, though? What are we trying to get? Good. How many batim do we need? Well, really, how many parashiyot, actually? I shouldn't say batim. How many parashiyot? How many parashiyot are in tefillin? So, Nu, how many parashiyot are in tefillin?
13.
How about how many parashiyot are in the Shal Rosh?
Four.
This is going to be fun.
Two.
This is so much fun. Four. And how many parashiyot are in the Shalyad?
Four.
Good. Four. That's right. Four and four. So what's the difference?
That one's together and one's apart.
Very good. Very good. We're going to see what's the difference, but you're absolutely right. So the Gemara wants to know how we know that there are four parashiyot. So Rabbi Shmuel is the first opinion. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva often argue. So here they're arguing about how we figure this out. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that we learn it from the psukim of the Torah, specifically from missing or extra letters. So in this case, you have the word totefet, totefet, and then totafot. Mm-hmm. Okay? So how do we learn from there? How are we supposed to learn from there? What's that supposed to teach us? It's really totafot, totafot, totafot. I shouldn't have said totafet. What's this supposed to teach us? So, what does Rashi say? So Rashi says, Mikan shekotev dalet parashiyot bedalet batim. Right, that wasn't very helpful. That's not very helpful. In essence, what we're supposed to be learning from is that the first two totafot, what's the difference between the first two and the third? The difference is the vav. So the first two, each one is one. Litotafot, the first one is one, because it's not plural. The second one, litotafot, is also not plural, so it's also another one. Litotafot with the vav is plural, so then it becomes two. So one plus two is?
Four.
What's the problem?
When do you put a vav at the beginning of a word?
Yafet. So take a look at Tosfot on the top right. Bishma vayayim shamo aktiv litotafot, bivaya ki yivyacha aktiv ulitotafot. Those are two of the four parashiyot that have the word that we put in the tefillin. Besvarim meduyakim that's in the proper svarim. Aval, bein pei litav loktiv vav. This is, I don't understand though. It never has a vav between the pei and the tav such that it will be like plural totafot. Right? So he says, I don't understand what's going on. How does this imply that there's two? The vav is after the tet. It's between the two tets. That's not plural. That's just the way you apparently spell totafot. How does this help you? Now, he goes on a long tangent to try to explain it. But basically, he concludes that, yeah, apparently sometimes when there's a vav, even in the beginning, you can kind of transpose it to the end, and all of a sudden it becomes plural. For our purposes, I guess we'll just say that Rabbi Shmuel notices that there's a vav in the third one. And he says, a vav usually connotes plurality, and so that must be what it's doing over here, even though this doesn't follow the normal rules. There may be a very logical reason why it doesn't follow the normal rules of Hebrew, which is... It's not Hebrew. Now, that's how Rabbi Shmuel takes the it's not Hebrew part. How does Rabbi Akiva take the it's not Hebrew part? Well, he says, well, what language is it? And what's the answer? It's two different languages. It's two different language. Tat bekatve shtayim, pat bafriki shtayim. Tat in the language of Kat. What is that? Kat, Kaspi. From Kaspi, from wherever, whatever region that is. The word tat in Kaspi, katvi, the word literally means
shtayim.
Two. And in African, I don't know if it's Afrikaans or if it's African, in some African language, pat means shtayim. So, Rabbi Kiva just does the math. 2 + 2 = 4.
So
in which case, it doesn't matter that it's 3. Exactly, which is what Tosis points out. You know, you might... Rabbi Kiva ignores the fact that it's repeated 3 times. He just says the meaning of the word is literally 4. The meaning of the word totefet, totefot, is literally 4. What?
How can I say the word in the Torah is not Hebrew?
Yes, that. So that's a whole sugya, right? That there's words, there are other words in the Torah that are not Hebrew, or at least are sometimes interpreted as being not Hebrew, but this is obviously the most famous one. So how do we explain this? So there's basically 2 ways to go about this. One is the Shlach Kadosh, who basically says that actually, you know, the original proto-language is Hebrew, of course, but we sometimes forget words from the language. So in other words, we forgot that the letters pei tuf could mean 2 in Hebrew. And it was only captured from the African language. In other words, it fell out of use. Nobody says that anymore in Hebrew. But it still exists in African when it was derived from the Hebrew. And so we brought it back in, and it's brought back in by the Torah. Another possibility is that there are traces of all languages inside of Hebrew, because the languages all develop. Not that it's literally from Hebrew, but that it kind of got converted somehow over there. This is obviously a very, very complicated issue. Well, what does the word totafot mean? That's kind of the problem here, I think.
Whatever it means in pshat, this isn't a smachta to help us to remember it.
Certainly. We definitely could. In fact, you know, in terms of totafot of Rabbi Yishmael, you do have Rishonim saying that that's not really how he knows. It's just an asmachta to prove that it's 4. In terms of Rabbi Akiva is saying that's pshat, right? Rabbi Akiva is saying pshat in the word totafot is 2 + 2. For Rabbi Yishmael, it's more likely that you'll go the asmachta route, because Rabbi Yishmael is saying something a little bit more, remazi, instead of pshat. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Yachol yichtevem al dalad orot, v'inichem bedalad batim bedalad orot. So, what would I think? I might think that let's do it like this. I have a bunch of different parts that tefillin are made out of, right? Let's start with the easiest. I have the cloth, right? The cloth with ink written on the cloth. What's the cloth made out of?
Skin.
Okay, good. Then we have the ritzuot. Okay, the ritzuot are the strings that come out. What are those made out of?
Skin also.
Good. Then we have the batim. What are the batim made out of?
Also.
Good. Skin also, right? Everything is skin. Everything is from the cow. Everything is skin, it's just processed. Did everybody here, I guess everybody went to Moshe Boaz?
Yeah.
Okay, Moshe Boaz does for Stam here in Ranana, he does a whole set. It's very good. He does it for Bar Mitzvah kids, if you get your tefillin from him for free. It's very, very nice. And he shows you like raw tefillin before it's been colored, before it's been really formed. So you can see that everything really was skin, and it's just processed, deoxidized, etc. All the different things that they can do to it. So the havamin over here is that, okay, if it's 4, then everything needs to be 4. We're talking right now about the head tefillin. So you would expect that it would be written on 4 different pieces of cloth. The batim would be made out of 4 separate pieces of leather, right? And then four separate batim made out of 4 different pieces.
As opposed to the thing on top.
No, it's all one thing.
It's all one thing.
Except I'm talking about the compartments.
The compartments inside.
Yeah, the compartments on the top. You might think that everything is separate and distinct in 4. So, Talmud Lomar, that's not true. Talmud Lomar... L'zikaron bein einecha. L'zikaron is one. Zikaron echad. That tells you that the compartment, that the box itself, the batim, has to be made out of one piece of ore. Haketzad. So what is it? Kotvan al dalid orot, umenichan bedalid batin, beor echad. You in fact write it on four separate cloths. We're talking about the head filling. Four separate cloths. You write the four parshiot on them. And then you put them into four distinct batim, but the four distinct batim are really made out of one piece of skin. It's just folded over to make four different compartments. What happens? V'im katvan bor echad. What happens if you write it all on one piece of cloth?
You put it on your arm.
No. And then you fit it into the batim. Now, how would you do that?
Bend it over.
But you need to get each one into different compartments, right? So, im katvan bo'or echad v'hinachan v'dalet batim, yatsa, it would work. Mm-hmm. You'd be yotze. In other words, b'di avad, you can write it on one cloth. It's not ma'akev to have four different clothes. V'tzarich she'e rebach menayen divar rebi. But you'd have to have a space in between them. Why?
To bend it over
so that, let's say, for example, the first parasha goes into one compartment, and then the other part, you shouldn't, but b'diavad, it's good. That's what b'diavad means. You know, you're right that in some cases, like for instance in kashrut, if something is not okay to do l'chatchila, then even when you do it, it's not okay b'diavad. But that's not this case, as far as I know.
But can you write it on one with space and then cut it afterwards?
I don't know. That is a good question.
Then maybe the b'diavad is if you didn't have the right clear whatever to cut it.
It's a good question.
But you need to.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think what the Havamina is you have to do it that way.
I think that's where
the Havamina that it comes from from one piece.
I think there's a Havamina that you write in one piece and then chop it up. But I don't think that's.
That may be. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't cover that. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was.
You have to ask a sofer. Okay. That's the first opinion, though, that you need to leave over space. Where did I go? Here. B'chachamim omrim, eino tzarech l'chachamim, say you don't need space. So what does that mean? You don't need space. Yeah. Okay, and then how do we put it in? That's my problem. How do we put it in, then?
How?
Apparently, I mean, it would seem that they don't go into distinct. Yeah, they don't go into distinct compartments. Kind of like, I guess it'll move over. I'm actually really not sure. And the article doesn't actually help. It just says there's no space, and that's it.
Then
it goes on to point out that everybody agrees about one thing though. V'shavin,
maybe it's like this. Write it down, and then the folding happens. So there's a piece of each bit in each thing,
but not
the full parasha.
Full parasha.
So yeah, that's what I was thinking. Also, seems strange though. But yeah,
and why split them up?
Right, why have four different batim if it's not really
together?
It's hard for me to understand what exactly they do. But shavin, they both agree, shenot en chuto meshicha ben kol achat v'achat. You have to have a string in between them that divides them. They have to have something that divides them. Fine. V'im cha'en charitza nikar psulot. What's the charitza? On the top of the shal rosh, the batim are, you can see from the top that they're distinct because there's a string that goes around the top. So that charitza, that indentation, has to be clear. It has to be clear from the outside that there are four separate batim and that it's not one single bite. Tanu Rabbanan. That's with regards to the head filling.
Is that stitching needs to be clear, or it just needs to be some kind of line there? Most filling there.
It's not going to be a line, right? Because in fact, it's really one piece that's folded over. So it really is. There is really a distinction between them. They've just been smushed together.
Right.
Charitzan is that space that really does exist between them, right. And then there's something that gets sewn around it. Tanu Rabbanan. Ketzad kotvan. How do you write tefillin shel yad? Ketzad kotvin tefillin shel yad? Kotva al or echad, v'im katva ba'ar ba'orot v'inacha b'vayit echad yatsa, v'tzarech ledabek. Okay, so hold on. So now we're talking, moving over to the tefillin shel yad. So the tefillin shel yad is really supposed to be just one long piece of cloth. And you put it into one bite. It just fits all into one place. So it's one. What happens if you did have four different ones? What happens if you wrote on four separate pieces of parchment? You know, you had small pieces of parchment, so that's how you wrote it. And then you put them all in. So what's the halakha? Once again, yetza v'tzarech ledabek. However, they need to be connected to each other. So either through sewing them or through literal devek, some kind of glue, some kind of adhesive, you have to put them together. How do we know? Shneimar v'yalacha ot al yadcha k'shem she'ot achat mibachutz kach ot achat mibifnim. It has to be an ot, so just like it's one ot on the outside, similar to the zikaron from before. Here it's the oat of the actual cloth. There's an irony over there. Before it was that it was teaching, the Zikaron Echad was teaching that it has to be one piece of ore that was making the whole tefillin, making the whole arba batim.
One making four.
But over here, it's telling you about the cloth. It's telling you that the cloth has to be one single cloth. Ot al yadcha. Shem sh'ot achat mibachutz, kach ot achat mibifnim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer, eino tzarech. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can be yotze with four separate pieces of cloth. You don't have to worry about putting them together. Okay? Am Rabbi Yossi, modeli Rabbi Yehuda, berebi, shim ein lo tfilin shel yad, v'yesh lo shtei tfilin shel rosh, shetola or al achat mehen, o menicha. So what did he just say? He just said, but actually Rabbi Yehuda, who before said that you're not yotze with four that are separate pieces of cloth, right? So what he says, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees with me that if, let's say, you only have two tefillin shel rosh, okay? That's all you have. Two tefillin shel rosh and the ritzuot haven't been connected yet. Well, what's the difference between tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad? Tefillin shel rosh are four distinct pieces. Tefillin shel yad is supposed to be one. So you've got two tefillin shel roshes, which means you have two tefillin which have closed boxes, which has four distinct pieces, and you don't have time to open it up and start playing around. So what do you do? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would have to open it up and tie them together, right? You have to sew them together. That's what we would expect. But Rabbi Yossi says no. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that in this situation, all you have to do is wrap something around it on the top. Wrap something around it, and you're good. That's enough. So that it looks like a single compartment, and then that's it. Yeah, with or, right. So that it looks like it's just a single, because the tefillin shel, yeah, that's what they look like. It looks like one single bayit. But here you have tefillin shel rosh, and it's clear that it's got four different batim. So what he suggests is you wrap some leather around it so that it looks like one bayit, and then you're yotzei. Right? And Rabbi Yossi claims...
Well, if you've got two of Rosh, by mistake...
That's what we're talking about. So you wrap one around one with leather so that it looks like one bayit, such that it looks like a tefillin shel yad, even though it's got four distinct compartments inside with four distinct pieces of cloth. And Rabbi Yossi claims that Rabbi Yehuda says that this is fine. You're allowed to do that. So, and Rabbi Yossi, as if he's saying, you know, we have our differences, but we both agree on this. What's the problem?
We don't agree.
Well, I mean, the Gemara says, but that's what you don't agree about. Yeah, what do you mean? The Gemara says, "Modal Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shem, Ein lo tefillin shel yad, v'yesh lo tefillin shel rosh, shetola or alachat mehen ve'nicha." Moda, haynu pluktayu. What do you mean he's moda? That's what you're arguing about. Rabbi Yossi says that this is okay. Rabbi Yehuda is supposed to say this is not okay. How can you say he agrees with you? So Rabbi says it must be that Rabbi Yossi is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. And he agreed with Rabbi Yossi in the end. So according to this, at least according to Rabbi Yossi's testimony, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with him in the end.
It's all based upon that it says ot, that is singular, right?
That's what tells you that it's supposed to be one long piece of cloth. And Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be one long piece of cloth. And if it's not, then you need to tie it together.
Because ot is not necessarily have to be one goof.
You're right.
Like Shabbat is oti.
Once again, it could be that it's an asmachta and that we knew this already. Or it could be that it's really learned from there. Hard to tell. Okay. Next. Ini, what does ini mean?
Really?
V'ha shalach Rav Chananya mishmed Rabbi Yochanan tefila. This is going to be a question. This is going to be a question of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Tefila shel yad osin ota shel rosh, v'shel rosh ein osin ota shel yad." The fi she'ein moridin mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. Okay, So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? He said that you can turn a tefillin shel yad into a tefillin shel rosh. All right, no problem there. It's four distinct. It's one distinct. It's one parasha. But we already said before, right? Didn't we already say before about the tefillin shel rosh that if it was written as one, that it's okay, right? But then he says the eno sino tashel yad lefi she'en moridei mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. Here it says you're not allowed to go from tefillin shel rosh to a tefillin shel yad for a different reason, though. Here the reason is because one of them is higher than the other. Which one is higher than the other?
The rosh.
Tefillin shel rosh is higher because it says you're not allowed to turn a tefillin shel rosh into a tefillin shel yad because ma'alin b'kodesh vein moridin.
Why do we always start with the yad?
Good. So that's a good question. First, let's answer this question though. Why is the tefillin shel rosh more holy than the tefillin shel yad?
We said possible to the tefillin.
Good. So there's two. So let's take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? Rashi says tefillin shel rosh chamura kedushata sherubo shel shakai nasa b'shel rosh, because most of the word shakai shin dalet and yud are from the shel rosh. What do we mean? So we know that the word shakai shows up from the tefillin. So how does it work? So it says shin dalet both show up in the rosh. Ava b'shel zroa ein ela yud, only has the yud. Okay, so so basically, Rashi's explanation is that most of the word shakai shows up in the tefillin shel rosh, so it has a higher level of kedusha. You have the shin on the, you know, you have the shin on the actual tefillin, on the box itself. Then you have the dalet made up from the actual knot. All right, that's it for the tefillin shel rosh. And then the yud, you have your thing. Now I know that when we put on tefillin shel yad, right, the way that we tie the straps also spells the word shakai, depending on your minhag how it exactly comes out. But you know, the shin is the most obvious. But that's what we do while we're tying it, right? But that's not how the tefillin are made.
Yeah, that's not the bracha. The tying is pretty relevant.
Right, the tying, you can tie however you want. The way that the tefillin are made, though, also contains the word shakai, and that's what Rashi is talking about. The shin and the dalet are in the shel rosh, and since it's got most of the words of the name of Hashem, so it's more chamor. The kedusha is more chamor. He references another answer. It says that the Tanya Rabbi Elazar Agadol Omer Elu Tefillin Shel Barosh is the pasuk Varu Kol Amei Aretz. Varu Kol Amei Aretz. Shame. What's the full pasuk over there?
Google.
Can't remember. Roman Kol Aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mimecha. Then they'll see that the Hashem Hashem is on you, and they'll be afraid of you. Now, what are they going to see? They're not going to see your tefillin shel yad. Why not? Because your tefillin shel yad is supposed to be hidden. Yeah. It's on your sleeve. It's under your sleeve. It's only the tefillin shel rosh that they can possibly see. So apparently, it has a special status that they see that that's Shem Hashem.
But even if you wore, even people who wear that still to this day who have tefillin, which they wear like during the day or whatever, you see some people who have, they have their tiny little things which they don't see, they're under the couple.
It shouldn't be covered. It's not allowed to be covered.
They're
covered up with the head with their talus.
You're not supposed to cover it with your talus. It's supposed to be uncovered. It's supposed to be uncovered. Tefillin shel yad is supposed to be covered. Tefillin shel rosh is not supposed to be covered.
So what's the answer to that? Why did we make the bracha then on the yad?
Well, what's the order of the pasuk? The truth is that actually, if you only have a tefillin shel yad or a tefillin shel rosh, you do the tefillin shel yad. That's the din, right? Because now I can't remember, but basically,
if you only have, you either have one or the other. It's okay.
Let's say you had to choose. Somehow, right? Or let's say for example, you know, you have both, and now it's before Zman Kriya. It's right before Zman Kriya Shema. I think I'm getting this halacha right. If you only get the Shel Yad, you can put on the Shel Yad and say Shema, but you can't put on the Shel Rosh and say Shema. If I remember correctly, you know what? Don't hold me to that. I have to look it up again and make sure that I remember this correctly. Last time that happened to me was never. So I've never had to actually look it up for myself. What?
That's right. You pretty sure. You have the time to put on one, you put on the Shriyan.
Yeah.
It's kind of covered for the Shalrosh. The Shalrosh is never there without the Shriyan.
That was another us. That was us. So in other words, it's almost, that's the sign that it actually does have more Kedusha.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did we go? Good, so this is the question, though. So the question remains. Over here it just said, Rabbi Yossi said that if you have two pairs of head tefillin, you can wrap a piece of leather about the around one of them and use that as a yad. But this Gemara, this Brayta over here just said that you're not allowed to do that, not because of anything to do internally with the halachot of tefillin, but rather because the tefillin shel rosh is too kadosh. You can't turn it into a tefillin shel yad. So how do we get out of that? So look, Asha, how about atikata habechadata? What's atikata habechadata? So in Aramaic, sometimes we switch letters, right? So sometimes the, you know, what is a tough switch off with?
Shin.
That's right. So if you turn the tough into a shin in this word, what would it become? In charita? Chadash. Chadash. Charita means new. It means chadash. An atik. Atik.
Old.
Means old. Atik. So it means this is new and this is old filling. What's the difference between new and old filling? Why does it matter that it's new and old filling? When I say new, I mean basically unworn, which means that there is no tefillin shel rosh or tefillin shel yad because they haven't been worn yet. You just got, you basically, what happened? You went to the sofer.
He
said, here's your tefillin, they're ready, right? Here's your new tefillin, they're ready. You go home, you open it up, you discover he gave you two shel roshes, right? But you're going on a ski trip now. You have no time. You can't go back. So what do you do? So Rabbi Yossi says, well, this is the case. They haven't been used yet. The tefillin shel rosh are not yet tefillin shel rosh. It says on the box, tefillin shel rosh. You haven't used it yet, so it has never been put on anybody's head. So you can still use it. You can still turn it into a tefillin shel yad.
Now, so it's, the ritzuot are secondary.
What?
Yeah, the ritzuot are secondary. They're completely secondary.
You have to figure out what you do with the ritzuot. You obviously have to figure that out.
But they're different. What do you mean? One's got four and
you have to retie them, I guess. You have to retie them.
No,
that's what he says. You have to wrap it around. That's what he says. You wrap around. The ritual you take care of, however you take care of them, and then you put them on.
What happens to the other guys with the 2 feet inch leather?
The two left shoes. You know that story with the sneaker factory? It's one of these cases where you're going to get the punchline because you know the context. You never would have gotten it before. There's a sneaker factory where they found that the workers kept stealing sneakers. So they didn't know how to stop them. So what did they do? They started manufacturing only left sneakers in that factory and only right sneakers in a different factory. So people stopped stealing because there's no point in stealing only left sneakers. So, no, it's true.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a warehouse that
they
read
it
in
like a bathroom book or something. How b'charita? So that's one answer. But there's a problem with this answer. What's the problem with this answer? There's a machlokas all across Shas. It's called Hazmana Lav Milta or Hazmana Miltai. What's Hazmana? Hazmana means ordering, or in this case it means designating. Okay? And the question is, when you designate something without actually doing anything yet, does that have halachic status? So how is that going to be an issue in our case? The sofer wrote Tefillin Shel Rosh. It's Tefillin Shel Rosh. So the Gemara says, "Luman damar hazmana miltehi." What are you going to say if you hold hazmana miltehi, which means the sofer designated as a shel rosh? How can you turn it now into a shel yad? Da'at ni'alayu meikara. This is a brilliant sofer who had the foresight that every time he makes a tefillin shel rosh and a tefillin shel yad, he makes a tnai that if need be, this tefillin shel rosh can become a tefillin shel yad. Right? If I happen to make a mistake like this, and the guy needs to go on a ski trip, he can turn the tefillin shel rosh into a tefillin shel yad. I'm not really being mazmin this as a tefillin shel rosh. Fine. Okay, that's how they get out of it. Good. Ready? Here comes the big one. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad Sidran. In what order do we put the klafim? So we're going to actually have to stop at the bottom over here, I think. Put the klafim into the tefillin shel rosh. Right? There are four distinct pieces. In what order would you put them in? Now, before we continue, what are the four parashiyot? Anybody know offhand? What are the four parashiyot? I'm sure it's in the next line of the Gemara. Kadesh Likal Bechor, Vayakiv Yachad. Those are both in?
Bo.
Parashat Bo, good. And then Shema and Vayayim Shema, which are both from Sefer Dvarim.
Sefer Ki'it.
Parashat Dvarim. Parashat... No, before that, I think. No, before that. I think it is... Is it Vayetchanan? It might be. Vayetchanan has the end of Shema. Yeah, Vayetchanan. Yeah, Vayetchanan. So they're both in Vayetchanan. Good. So before we continue, what would you expect you would do? In what order do you expect we would do this?
In the chronology of
okay, good. So the Gemara says, Ketzat Sidron, Kadesh Li, Vayayaki V'yacha Miyamin, Shema Vayam Shema Mismo. This is a little bit confusing, isn't it? What does this mean? Yeah. How would you explain this? Let's say, imagine that you're looking at the person right now. So according to this, and what do we do to this?
It's from your Yemin. So it's, if I've got it in my head, it's
from a viewer's perspective, or the wearer's perspective.
The wearer.
So is this according to? So hold on. So Vayaki V'yacha. Sorry, Kadesh Li and Vayaki V'yacha. So in what order is that? Right there.
Kadesh Li is the first.
Okay.
Vayaki V'yacha. Vayaki V'yacha is the second.
Okay.
And you're moving along.
Okay, and then you go to Shema and Vayayim Shema.
Shema is on the end.
And Shema is first, and Vayayim Shema.
And then Vayayim is
so,
in the middle.
So, what's this right and left business? All right, but let's leave it for a second.
Kadesh Li and Shema are the two extremes, and then the other two are in between.
Kadesh Li and Vayayim and Shema. No. Yes. Okay. You say so, fine. Vatanya, Ibcha.
But the two that you mean in small, maybe the
you realize that would put them out of order, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Vatanya, Ibcha. Vatanya, but the writer that says it's the opposite, meaning whatever you just said, the opposite. Amar Habaye, Lokasha. Kami mino shel kore, kami mino shel meniach, va kore, kore kisidran. So Habaye says, no, what's going on is as follows. Kami mino shel meniach. The other Braita, which has the opposite, is and this one is from the perspective of the person wearing it. But when you read it in order. Let's take a look at Rashi so that we get clear what's going on over here. His right is his left. It's really the same thing. Meaning, so you have on the right side, all the way on the right, you have Kadesh, and then Kiviyacha, if you're looking at the tefillin, right, if you're looking at them head on. And then the hashtag shu kore kedarko mi mino lismolo. You write, read from right to left. V'nimtza kara kisidran. V'adatana ibcha demashma kadesh v'yaki v'yacha mismol. The one that says that it's the opposite, where kadesh and kiviyacha goes from the left to the right. That's a miniach kamar. That's because the guy who's wearing it, that's what it feels like from him, that he's going from left to right, which is the opposite. Okay? So, Shitas Rashi over here is that it's written and put in order. That's the key.
That no one was holding what I was suggesting.
I wouldn't say that. So Rashi says that if you're looking at the tefillin, so then it goes from right to left, Kadesh Li Kol B'chor, Vayaki V'yacha, Shema, and Vayayim Shema. Okay? That is, guess what? Tefillin Shel Rashi. Okay? Take a look at the Tosfos on the bottom.
What about the concept of Ein Mugdam U'Mo'acher? And when we're saying it's an order that it's written, it's an order.
It's an order of the way that it's written in the Torah. Nobody says that you can just write psukim in the Torah out of order because it's not an order. Look, I'll tell you, to be honest, the Gemara wonders, when we say Shema, right? Do we read it in order? Do we say Shema in order?
No.
No. Right? We don't say it in order. The tzitzit is in Shlach. Right?
That's about the content. It's not about the physical.
Right. And so, and when we say Shema, so there, the Gemara says, well, we look at the content and we see what's relevant. So, in one case, you have Lishma Lilmod Lamed. The other one, it's just Lilmod Lamed. Sorry, Lishmor Lilmod, I think. And then the last one is just Lishmor. Meaning, each one has a different content and it goes down. Down in the quality of the content. But over here, where we're writing things, so Rashi apparently says it has to be written in order. You have to write it in order, and it has to be placed in order into the tefillin. That's tefillin shel Rashi, everything in order.
From right to left.
From right to left if you're facing it. If you're facing it. Yeah. Take a look at Tosfot. Vakare kare kisidran. Pirish bakuntras. Who's kuntras?
Rashi.
Kaseder why you know why he's called kuntras?
Because
from the contract, that's the place in front.
That's not what I heard.
He's got lots of notes. He wrote on lots of.
He wrote. Pages. He wrote like serial. He wrote like almost like parsha sheets. He wrote parsha sheets. He wrote parsha sheets, and then he put them out in the Beit Midrash every week.
Yeah.
So it was a kuntras each one. That's what I heard. He put out parsha sheets every single week. There was Rashi's parsha sheets, and then they put them together.
He told us the same thing.
Right? Yeah. Is there a Kutras in France?
Carpentras.
He was from Troyes, yeah. Okay. He was from Troyes.
Troyes.
Okay, so Tosa says, Korek is Idra. Pirish Bukuntras, Kesedr, Shen, Ketuvim, Batora, Mukdam, Mukdam, Mukhar, Mukhar, Hilko, Hadakani, Leel, Kadesh, Akiv, Yacham, Yamin, Mimirosh, Korek, Amar, Mahashtak, Shukore, Kedark, Yiminovis, Malon, Yimsa, Korek, Korek is Idra. That's what we saw. Vikasha, the Rabinutam. Damai palginu shekore shtein arishonot miyamin v'kol achronot mismol. Tosfos says, but I have trouble reading the Gemara exactly what it means because in the original Braita it said miyamin and then mismol. Gets confused. I don't want to go into the ins and outs of what Rabbi Natan's problem with Rashi is. Just jump down to the first wide line of Tosfot, right in the middle of it.
Is this Rabbi Natan?
Yes. Well, no, Rabbi Natan's not writing Tosfos. Whoever is writing Tosfos is writing down what Rabbi Natan said. Rabbi Natan didn't write any actual Tosfot. They just wrote what he says because he was the Rosh Hashiva. So the first wide line, it says, "Mufareish Rabbeinu Tam, Kadesh, v'hayaki aviyacha miyamin shel korei, umismol shel korei, have shema mibachutz v'acharei v'ayim shamacha." This is what Matthew said, right? If you're looking at the guy, so from the right you have Kadesh v'kol b'chor v'hayaki aviyacha, and then jump to the left, and then from the left you have Shema. And Vayam Shema, which means that there's one there that's out of order. There's one piece that's out, well, I guess two, but basically three and four are switched. Vayaki V'yacha and Shema are switched. Where does Rabbi Natan get that from? Because he's reading the Gemara. He says that's what the Gemara means when it says it. When the Gemara says Miyamin and Mismo, that's what it says. Who agrees with Rabbi Natan? A lot of people. V'chein Pirish Rabbeinu Chananel. B'Sanhedrin, Kol Bayit Mibachut She'enu Roya Tavir Pasul. Not for now. Kegon Kadesh Ushma.
By the way, do we know if Rabbeinu Tam actually only wore Rabbeinu Tam to fit? He didn't wear Rashi.
I presume. Well. That's a great question because, after all, he was the grandson of Rashi.
Yeah.
I presume he only wore Rabbeinu Tam to fit, though. Because he's a serious guy. I don't think he waffled. And we don't find. He didn't say that he wore both, so right. I would expect that he would say that he wore both. Right. And he wasn't the only one who said this. It wasn't like he made it up. The Chenu of Haigon. Haigon also, so you have Rabbeinu Chanan. You have Rabbeinu Haigon. V'yaminiach siman havayot lahadade. The havayot are lahadade. What does that mean? Havayot lahadade. We're going to get back to that later. Havayot, haya, right?
Yeah.
So you have v'haya kibiyacha, and you have v'haya im shamoah. Haigon says those are together, which means that he put them in
the middle.
In the middle, out of order. Perish v'haya kibiyacha v'haya im shamoah, p'nimiyot, zu itzol zu. Many Rishonim say this. Okay, so you have Rashi and Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam and many other Tosafists of his day. If you jump down all the way to the bottom, two lines up from the bottom,
Ubishimush. There's quite a lot of arguments between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, right?
Of course. Yeah. Ubishimusha Rabba. You see in the middle? Shimusha Rabba is a sefer or an author. Shimusha Rabba. Tikkun haTfilin mashma kipirusha kuntras. Shimusha Rabba was this other Rishon who said, who had also, like Rashi, that it was in order, with one tweak. Umashvi parashata de kadesh miyamin bebeta kama, uparashata de besamach le bebeta tinyana vayaki aviyacha. Vayaki aviyacha uparashata de shma beshlishit, uparashata de vayayim shamoa verevi'it. He had Rashi, but switched. So in other words, on the right he had Vayayim Shamoa. Next to that he had Shema. Next to that he had Vayaki V'yacha. And next to that he had Kadesh L'Yichol B'Kor. So he had Rashi, just the mirror image. So far we have three positions. Rashi, that is right to left in order, if you're facing, right to left in order. Rabbi Natan, who switches Vayayim Shamoa and Shema. And then we have this Shimusha Rabba, who says it's in order from left to right, if you're facing.
That's because he's taking the position of the Kora, not the Maniach.
I would say the opposite. He's saying the Meiniach, because he's saying right to left from the Meiniach's perspective.
Ah, so the Rashi...
Rashi's saying right to left from the Kareh
from
perspective.
From the Kareh perspective. All right, okay.
This reminds me of the Machloket by Tkiat Shofar, of how do we blow the Trua, in the sense that shouldn't the answer be go out and see
however
what
people
do?
However we've been doing
however
for
we
the
do.
Last 2,000 years.
Exactly.
It's a good point. It's a great question. Everybody wonders about this. But I think it's helpful to realize that we tend to think that this started with Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And we've already seen that it definitely doesn't start with Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam has precursors that go back at least 200 years. 200 years, right? We're going to see that it possibly even goes back further, which may help you. Okay, so first of all, who else...
Is the Machlokes just about the Shalosh?
Good question. We're not sure. Probably. Probably. Now, so far we've got Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Haigon, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Shimur Shel Rabba. You know, who's missing from this conversation?
Rambam.
Rambam, right. Okay, so what does the Rambam say?
When do you take off Rashi and put on the Rambam?
Good question, we'll get to that later. Rambam. Keitzad tzidur ha-parashiyot, keitzad tzidur ha-parashiyot, right off the bat, b'tfilah shal rosh machnis parasha achrona shehi v'ayayim shalma b'bayit rishon, shu yamin ha-mei niach. Okay? Which means that it's the small of the Koreh, that's the last one. Ushma samuchala, ve'akiv yachav, ve'ayit shleishi samuchalishma, ve'kadesh li ba'yit rvi, shu l'smol ha-meniach, tfilin, kidei she'a Koreh shalafanav, keneged p'nei ha-meniach, Koreh al-azeder ha-zeh, kegon zeh, v'mechliv k'sidur zeh, psulot. In other words, according to the Rambam, it's just like Rashi. Rashi. For him, it's according to the Seder of the Koreh. Okay. Here he was describing from the left to the right, that's why he started with Vayayim Shama. You're right, it's confusing. But basically, he just said that Rashi is right in the Shimush Rabbah's puzzle, and he didn't even want to talk about Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? That's what he said so far. Rashi's right, the Shimush Rabbah is puzzle, and Rabbeinu Tam is not even entering the conversation. So far, we have, again, three Shitot. Here comes another one down the pike. Raven. Rabbeinu Haizal, Eino Merkin, El Havayot Be'emsa, Kadesh Miyamin, Hameniach, Vayaki Vyacha, Samuch La Shma Mismolo, Vayayim Shamoa, Samuch La Be'emsa, V'hu behefech lekorei shekinegdo v'akorei korei kisidra and al-shma v'ayim shemoa ne'mar shu kisidra akorei b'torah mi'minu smol. Okay, so again. So what did the Rabbi just say in Rabbeinu Hai? So he says, Havayot are in the middle. Kadesh mi'yamin ha'meniach.
So it's on the left of someone looking.
Kadesh mi'yamin ha'meniach. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam said exactly like Rashi, except
switch
the 3 and 4, right? Switch the 3 and 4. But that would mean that Rabbeinu Tam is also saying it's from the perspective of the Koreh. So all the way on the right, you would have Kadesh Likol Bechor, and then Vayaki Viyacha. But what did the Raivet
say?
Yeah, first of all, the same. Good. What did the Raivet just say in the name of Rav Haidel? Kadesh Miyamin Ha. Meniach. That means it's all the way on the left from the perspective of the Koreh. Vayaki v'yacha samuchla shma mismalo vayayim shamoa samuchla. In other words, the Ravid is Rabbeinu Tam only flipped. Okay, so we have four shitot. You have Rashi who says in order from right to left from the perspective of the Koreh. You have Shimush Rabba who says it's left to right from the perspective of the Koreh. You have Rabbeinu Tam who says from the perspective of the Koreh it's in order except for 3 and 4 which are switched. And then you have the Raivin who says that from the perspective of the Koreh it's left to right only with 3 and 4 switched. Four different shitot.
We need four pairs of tefillin. Two is not enough.
At least four. Rabbi Razer said...
Six.
And actually, yeah. No,
it's another
60.
Permutation, which is the first two.
I think it was...
Four, you've got more than 36 combinations.
No, that's... I think somehow the growth...
No one holds that you switch Kadeshli with...
Here, 64. Apparently, the grass is in 64 different kind of permutations. If you're going to get it, not clear exactly how we got there. I'm not sure. All right, let's suffice to say that there are four legitimate positions. Four legitimate positions that you can find easily in the Rishonim. We just found them. We just found all.
Where do they get them from? Where do they?
Good. So that's exactly what I want to talk about. But before we get there, just a little bit of. Good. Okay, you know what? Let's start over
again with Rabbam, and he's not
He's saying what he thinks. He's not. There's no context here of someone else saying something else. He's not arguing with anyone. He's
putting his.
What?
That's Rambam.
Okay, that's exactly Rambam. But no one else is also in the Rambam as well. No one's giving a. Some people do this. Some people do this.
Oh,
do this.
No.
Everyone's basically.
Everybody says everybody else is possible.
They're not even discussing them. Yeah. And I think that's.
They are discussing them. Rambam disagrees with Rashi.
Okay, no, they're
also brings all the shittos.
No, they're specifically yes, but otherwise I just keep coming back to what Meir said, which is they must be just explaining what they've been doing for hundreds of years.
Good, so take a look at this. Hine hamachlokas amiyuchasot l'Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. He be'emet machloket keduma mimeichach me'atamud. Truthfully, this whole machlokas doesn't even only go back 200 years; it goes all the way back to the time of the Gemara. Be'na mechilta la'Yerushalmi. It's machlokus between the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi. The Mechilta says their parashot kirashi, because basically everybody says that the Bavli can't be machriya because it's unclear. Right? What we just read is unclear. Rabbeinu Tam has just as right to read the Gemara as Rashi. But the Mechilta clearly says like Rashi, it has the order, Kadesh, Yaakov, Yachashma, Bayam Shema, Ulam, Yerushalmi, Kodshim, skip the parentheses for a second, Mavur, Devahayot, Havayot, Ba'emza, Kiddi Isa, Rabbeinu Tam, Kiddachatav, Rabbeinu Tam. The Yerushalmi Kodshim says that it's in the middle. It's like Rabbeinu Tam. K'mo shehed begadu arayvet bepesh sefer yitzira shu atzmo ra'a b'talmud Yerushalmi m'seder kachim davayot ba'emza. Like Arayvet says he saw in the Yerushalmi of kachim. Ve'heviyomar anechida b'shem ha'gdolim v'kachlo shekenu b'tikunei ha'zohar. He says it's also in the Zohar. Fine, we'll get back to the Zohar later. Now why do I say we're going to get back to the parentheses? The parentheses says she'ne'avad me'itanu v'kanodeh hi'haya b'idei harishonim. There is apparently a Yerushalmi of kachim that the Rishonim have. Now here there's an interesting history. And the history goes that about 150 years ago, a publisher published the Yerushalmi on Kachin. And he first published it, I think, on Tzvachim and then on Menachos. And in that Yerushalmi, it says what this says over here. And everybody was like, oh wow, this is amazing. And it went through a bunch of different rabbis. You know where this is going. Went through a bunch of different rabbis that gave an Ishur, they said. And then finally got to somebody who says, no, there's no way that this is the Yerushalmi. It's not the right style. It's not this. It's not that. And the publisher actually confessed. He actually confessed that it was a forgery. What he had published, and then, I don't know, monetary, I don't know, whatever, for whatever reason he did it. And what's interesting, the backstory over there, is that the Chafetz Chaim says that his father, when he got a copy of the Yerushalmi on Kodshim, began to wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And then, when he found out, he stopped. Or maybe he didn't, actually, I think the end of the story is actually they continued because he was already doing it anyways. But he was basically said, you know, this is ridiculous. But the only reason that he was started doing it was because he saw this Yerushalmi Kachim, which is a forgery. Now, Rav Avadia is pointing out that the Ravid claims he saw it in the Yerushalmi Kachim. We don't have. So he's claiming that there really is a tradition that's in the Yerushalmi Kachim, or maybe in the Zohar, as we're going to see. So it could be that it really does go back, just not the Yerushalmi Kachim that was published 150 years ago. Okay? So it could be that this machlokes goes way, way, way back. All right? Okay.
The publisher must have got the idea from somewhere.
Yeah, most likely. Mm-hmm. Most likely. Whenever these things are published, they're usually published by Talmidei Chachamim, and they usually have very good ideas in them. It's just that it's not as old as they say it is.
You have to publish something even as a fake.
There's a sefer called B'Samim Rosh. It's the most famous case of this kind of stuff. The B'Samim Rosh, I actually now forgot the name of the author, but it wasn't the Rosh. It was supposed to be written by the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, from 800 years ago. Right? And it got through a lot of people. So some people started saying, there's some things in here that don't stem with what the Rush says. And it was literally published by, I don't actually know the years. I think it was also like 150 years ago. By a big Talmud Chacham writing in the name of someone from 800 years ago. Do you imagine? And it still gets quoted sometimes, La Halacha, because the tshuvas were so good. Some people are against it. Chassam Sofer was against it. He said, you can't quote it at all. Rav Avadia sometimes quotes the B'Samim Rosh. And always puts in a footnote saying that, it's a forgery, but still.
Isn't that the same machlokes in the Zohar?
Yeah, there's the same dispute about the Zohar, but we're not going to do that now. Okay, what's the halacha?
The strange thing about this is it seems a bit like a machlokes in Mitzvos. I mean, it's strange.
We'll see that there is conceptual
open opinions. Open a pair of tinnit and see what it looks like.
What do you mean open? No. What do you mean? There's stories you find in the Rishonim sometimes. Oh, we found a pair of tefillin from a long time ago, and they were Rashi tefillin, right? and they were in the Geniza. And then the Geniza, so somebody said, yeah, they're in the Geniza because they were no good. Yeah, it's like, you can't get anywhere with this. You can't get anywhere.
No, but this may be, we're not talking 2,000 years later. I mean, when this Machlokiot started, you know, hundreds of years
ago. We know that we've had Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin for at least 100, 800 years.
No, but even before, so, when the Mechilta started arguing, he could get a hold of a pair of tin and open it and see what
the Mechilta doesn't have the Mechilta. Mechilta says this is the way it is.
Everyone's describing
what it is. And Rashi says this is the way it is. How did this thing start? I have no idea. You're right. How did it start? So no clue. In terms of that, Meir is right. Meir is right. You know, how do we not know how to vote true? Now, the answer there might be scary because the Rambam has one opinion on the deal with the Truan. He basically said, is it Rambam? I think the Rambam says, well, it's Machlokes in the Rambam and Rav Haigon, Rambam and Haigon. Well, I forget the names of Haigon, but one of them basically says, it's a suffix because of the Gullus messed us up and things got mixed up. And the other one says, no, it just doesn't matter so much. These are all really legitimate. We just like to do them all. So I don't see anybody saying that for tefillin over here, right? Yeah. So you may just say, look, these things sometimes happen. It's scary, but these things sometimes happen. Okay, halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Seder anachatan babatim. What's the deal? The Rashi, the Rambam, Kadesh. The Rabbeinu Tam, Babayit, Shlishi, Vayim, Shema. Etc., etc., etc. Minag Olam, Karashi, Vahar Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, Minag is Rashi and the Rambam. That's the Ikar. That's the Ikar. Rishon Berurah says, Katra poskim digam Rabbeinu Tam, Moda de Be'inan Ktivatan Kseder. Right? You guys didn't ask this question. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is written on four distinct parashiyot, right? Parchments. Right? So do you have to write them in order? Or should they be written in order? How should it be written? Most of the poskim say they have to be written in order and then placed out of order. They're written in order, meaning according to the order of the Torah, and then placed in the tefillin according to the order that Rabbeinu Tam says. Shem k'tuvin b'tara. Shu kadesh v'akiv v'acha shma v'ayam shama. El t'palag arashi lein en achatam b'batim. V'al korchach arotze lichtov tefillin l'dat Rabbeinu Tam. Yichtov b'shal yad shehen b'klath achad kadesh v'akiv v'acha v'yaniach chelek v'ayam shama. So there's your answer. It's also, according to this, it's also the tefillin shal yad. And what you do is, since you have to write in order, you would leave a space when you write Vayakiv, because you have to write, you would write Kadesh Likol Bechor Vayakiv Yacha, and then you would move to the end and write Shema, and then move back and then write Vayam Shema. Vayam Shema is the longest one. So,
we said before, you can take four separate and we can join them together.
You could.
Okay. No, you write them down. You write them in equally spaced blocks. No, just one goes on a bit longer, doesn't it?
No, for yad it's no,
they're not continuous. Yad is written
in one thing, one column.
No, the yad.
Yad is not four columns. It's one continuous script.
Right.
So you have to leave the space.
One. But it has to be one continuous script, right?
No, it's in four. I mean, no, it's not continuous.
No, but it's not boom, 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 boom. It's one long.
Do we have it?
It's not really cross.
No, it is. No, no, it's four different.
That's even in
the end? Yeah. It's, yeah.
It's like that? Really? Yeah. Not in my tune.
Did you X-ray it?
I don't think it might be.
When was the last time you opened up a tefillin?
Never.
No, I've got a
the only difference is the Hayah has to have a space at the top. You also need spaces at the top. This is not, we're not getting into the Kitab right now. There's a lot of stuff over there. We should have Moshe Boaz give another
idea. You need column space to, okay.
Yeah. Fine. Now, let's talk about where Rabbeinu Tam is coming from, right? Where would you say Rashi is coming from?
Write it in order.
Come on, guys. Just write it in order. So where's Rabbeinu Tam coming from?
So he understands the Gemara.
What? Fine. So where's how does Rabbeinu Tam understand why the Gemara says that? Okay. So the Keren Ora. Keren Ora, 17th century commentary on the Gemara. So he says, L'shitas Rabbeinu Tam za'aloni d'bayar tamo shal davar v'gemar v'hipuch sedar parashiyot. We don't see the reason for it. You have to explain why. Well, one option, always an option. We didn't get to it. But on the very next daf, very next number, if you turn the page over, you'll see that there's a whole list of halacha l'moshe b'sinai about tefillin. Now this is a weakness and a strength for the current ara. It's a strength because it implies that there are a lot of halacha l'moshe b'sinai. It's a weakness because this is not one of them. Okay?
But it says about the Havayot had been together, doesn't it? Didn't say that.
No, not our Gemara didn't say that. No, that was what Rav Chaikon said.
Okay.
Ella the Yerushalmi Miksat Tam the Duvei Rabbeinu Tam the En Kan Shinu Haseder Ella the Biyamin Aminiach Kachu Haseder Shema Vayayim Shema Kedetani Iba Brayta Ibcha Shema Vayayim Shema Miyamin Kadesh Vayakiv Echasmo Vahavi Bet Parshot Kesidra Miyamina Kore Bet Parshot Kesidra Miyamina. It could be that Rabbeinu Tam just simply understands. No, apparently the Gemara says you have to look at it from both perspectives, and then if you look at it from the perspective of the Kore, so you read from right to left, and then the second side is from the perspective of the Miniach. In other words, what has the Karen Ara done for us? He's just explained to us that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the tefillin is supposed to be written both from the perspective of the Kore and from the perspective of the Miniach, half-half. But really, the Karen Ara really basically has just kicked the can down the road a little bit and just made us ask a different question, which is, why is half of it written from the perspective of the Kore and half of it written from the perspective of the Miniach? Now, what he said is, it's really in order. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's also in order. It's just two different parts of the tefillin, and each one has a different perspective.
Is there a relationship between the parshiot in pairs, in a sense, the
seems likely
Kadeshli Bechor and Ki V'yacha and
Well, they definitely. I mean, they're with each other. Vayaki V'yacha and Kadeshli Bechor actually leads right into Vayaki V'yacha. It's the same. Okay. It's the same section.
And the Shema,
they're separated, but no, they're not separated. I'm sorry. Sure, it goes into Vayam Shema as well.
Just trying to cover all bases.
So that's why. If you treat them as pairs.
The thing that we're not sure about is from whose perspective it is.
Okay.
And because we're not sure whose perspective it is,
okay.
Right, we're going to try to cover all bases in the
Or maybe the Torah intentionally wants it to be from both perspectives. It's not that we're not sure. Maybe it's supposed to be like that.
So this pair is from that perspective. This pair is from that perspective. And that's why you have the Shema's. When you see it the other way around, that's why it's the first one.
Perfectly likely. It's fine. Let's see what some of the Achronim say. So we're going to see two different answers. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Rav. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes the esoteric route. He goes in there, he actually starts his comments, I cut it out, but he starts his comments and says, you know, this is a book of halacha. We don't usually get into this. But since we're talking about Rabbeinu Tam, I thought I'd bring in a little bit of Zohar and try to explain what's going on with Rabbeinu Tam. So, and he basically, what he comes up with over here, it sounds like he thinks that this is a new explanation. He's just quoting the Zohar, but it's his, what he does with the Zohar, which is very, very interesting. And it really is very interesting. He says, Zeh Loshon HaZohar Sham, Tfilin Dilei Keseder Havaya, De'ihu Kadesh Li Vayaki V'yacha Shma V'yayim Shamoa. So this is the Zohar, which says that the order is Kadesh Li Vayaki V'yacha Shma V'yayim Shamoa. It's Rashi.
Yes, it's Rashi.
Whatever you think, you just say the opposite. Aval. Be'alma da'ati havayot be'emtza. But in the future world, the havayot will be in the middle. The inon Hashem, Hashem, ad kan lashon. That's what the Zohar says. That's it. Esoteric. Not so... The inon Hashem, Hashem. I'm sure that it makes sense in the context of the Zohar. I'm not sure. The Herich Bazayin Sham. The Zohar goes on and on. Lini Daiti, Babiro. This is what's going on. Dine, Mesof Paragimel de Psachim, Amru Chazal, Shalatit Lavo, Yomu Shem Havaya Kichtivato, Vizeo Dichtiv, Bayomahu, Yashem Achadushmo Achad. We have Bayomahu, Yashem Achadushmo Achad, which is the Gemara Psachim, and Rashi, by the way, says, means that in the future, Hashem's name will be said as it is written. Right? Exactly. Instead of Hashem or Ado Hashem, the way that we say it. Mipnei Sha'azia Bitula Yetzahara. Why? Because in the future, Yetzahara is going to go away. Kedichtev lo yaru v'lo yashchitu. Umimele shegam atzarot yichalu. Therefore, all of the suffering and all of the pain of the world will end. Here it comes. V'lachein. Ata. Now. Right now. V'zmanazen. Vayayim shamoa ha'achrona debachtiv hishamu lachen pen yiftet levavchem. Va'avadatem mehera. What's that talking about? If you don't listen, then there will be bad things. There will be tzarot. If you don't listen, because you have a yetzara, then bad things will happen. That's v'hayayim shamoa. Right? V'avadatem mehera. That is why it goes on the outside. It goes the order of Shema, and then v'hayayim shamoa at the end. Whereas in the future, what will be on the outside is the Shema part.
Right.
This is the old we're passing like Beit Shammai in the future idea. Right? Basically saying that the halakha will change.
Why? Because we won't need to be warned about doing things and being punished.
The Ikar over here is what goes on the outside. The Gemara goes into that later, by the way. Gemara goes into that later about that each thing needs to be placed where it is because it matters what's on the outside of it or what's to the right of it or what's to the left of it. We didn't have time to go through that. But basically what he's saying is that according to the Zohar, in the future, the Vayayim Shama is going to move to the outside. Sorry, it's going to move towards the inside instead of being on the outside. The Shema is going to be on the outside. And you're going to have the two Havayot together. Right?
But then why, if this is going to be the case, why do you need it at all?
What do you need what at all?
Pick it out.
Yeah, Shema. There's no way it's around on punishments. Just take it out.
Are
you
chasing
Halacha, right?
We're not in the living room. I hear you. I don't know.
But it's not just the curses. It's balanced by Vayayim Shamoa. It's Brachot in the beginning and Klalot.
You're right. You're right. But it has it in there at all. In fact, it has it in there.
I understand.
So that's a very innovative idea. That's how he would explain that both Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi are correct. Right? And give an explanation for why Rabbeinu Tam says what he says, perhaps. I mean, I don't know if Rabbeinu Tam would agree with it, right? Because then that means that he's only for the future, but fine.
Well, he's with Shechs coming.
Right. Right. So here's a different answer, though. Here's the Rav. Lamito shel davar. This is, but the Rav has a set of a sefer, which is a set of shiurim on stam. It's on stam and mezuzah and tefillin and tzitzit. It's a bunch of very short, very readable shiurim. It's very nice stuff. So this is actually the first siman in the whole sefer. It says lamito shel davar kol parshiot shebet tefillin oskot bekabalat o malchut shamayim. All of the parashiyot and tefillin talk about Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. Okay, Kavar Rashi Shekol Arba Parashiyot Sheichal Seder Echad. He put them in order. Rabbeinu Tam Nira Lahasbir Sheshnei Sidrei Parashiyot Mechuvanim Klapei Shnei Ofanim Shonim Shekabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. That these two distinct sets, right? He breaks it down into two sets. You have and Shema and Mayim Shema. Those are two sets. Letzad Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim Shekol Echad VeEchad Chayaba. Yishna Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim Miuchedet Ekev Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So there's one O Malchut Shemayim which is connected deeply to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, namely that we're supposed to. It comes out of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Hashem says at the end of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, He says that you're supposed to think of Yitzhak Mitzrayim when you have the tefillin. It's connected. But when you get to the parashiot of Tefillin in Va'et Chanan, there's nothing there about Tzav Mitzrayim. Ela at Yichud Hashem v'Kabbalat Ol Mitzvotav, right? Vayayim Shamoa and Shema is nothing to do with Yitzav Mitzrayim, whereas Vayakiv Yacha and Kadesh Dikol Bechor are very much having to do with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So you have these two different fields. V'hine, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim Haba Be'ikvot Yitzhak Mitzrayim Mechovenet Klapei Chutz She'enu B'tzuvim L'farsem Et Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim L'mosol L'acherim. The parts about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that's a storytelling part. You're telling others about it. Im Kain Mistaber She'said
Is Yitzhak Mitzrayim is about the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim?
When we focus on Yitzhak Mitzrayim and we say we learned Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim Yitzhak Mitzrayim, so what you're basically saying is we're going to tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and thereby gain our Ol Malchut Shamayim. So Im Kein Mistaber Shaseidah Parshiot Shabeshmot Hu Ha'od La'Acherim Shabetfilin Shal Rosh Hamuzkeret Babayit V'aru Kol Amei Aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'aru Mimeka. So those first two parashiot, those are for the Korei or the Meniach. for the person who's looking at the tefillin, or for the person wearing the tefillin?
Kore.
For the koreh. For the person looking at the tefillin. V'tayne Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer, Eil tefillin shebal rosh, that's the V'yaru Mimekka. U'bevan sheseder zeh matchil dafka mimin ha koreh. Ach parashiyot shema, v'ayayim shamoa, ha'oskot b'yichud Hashem, u'guvot on mitzvot, d'ayin avot at Hashem, u'vutelt al miniach atzmo, v'b'chinat yachid, hein ot lecha, v'lo lacherim, v'lachin matchilot mimin ha'miniach. However, the parashiyot on the second half, of v'ayayim shamoa and shema, those are very personal. They have to do with your brain, right? With your, you know, accepting God. Those are for the miniach. So it starts from his right. So going back to what we were saying before, right? What I was saying before, that it's really that, it's not that stam we're switching the order, it's that half of it is for the kor, right? Half of it is for the miniach. And now we understand why. The psukim, the actual parashiyot, the content of the parashiyot, are directed either to the kor or to the miniach.
That ends up with the position of
Rabbi Natan. That's Rabbi Natan. They're all for the Kore, for Rashi.
Rashi just keeps it simple. From the Rav Soloveitchik when I said put them in pairs, and it's the second one.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Just didn't know why.
Not at all. I want to make a couple more points before we... It's very nice. Actually, Rimon had one other idea that I noticed right before I came, and I don't remember what it was, and I didn't have time to put on the sheet. Let me see if I can find it very, very quickly. 14...
Interesting that some people have the custom to only put on Rabbi Natan after they get married. Some put it on a mitzvah, Chabad, and then other people put it on only after they get married when they are Kabbal or Balchus Shabbat.
They need to confirm, reaffirm. Who's boss?
Yeah, 80, it'll be here. He actually quotes the Rav. He quotes the Rav first. Rav Rimon first quotes the Rav. Chelik Rishon, Chelik Sheni. And then he says, "Minegan itan latzia hesber machshavti gam b'shita Rashi." He says he wants to try to explain Rashi. He says Rashi has a sur me Rav ase tov component. So he says, according to Rashi, but Bchinat Sur Meira is in how does that work though? It's supposed to be Sur Meira Basi Tov. This is weird. It's very strange. Okay, usually it's Sur Meira and then Asi Tov, right? So how does that fit? So in the last two parashiyot you have Shema and Vayayim Shema. So as we kind of saw from the Vayam Shema has the Sur Meira component because it has Yishamu Lachem, right? Whereas Shema doesn't have that component. It is only the Aseh Tov. So that would imply that Rabbi Natan is even more right because he should have the Sur Meira Vayam Shema before the Aseh Tov of Shema. But then Rav Rimon says Ulam b'mitziyut ha'anoshit kasher lehiyot nekiyim legamrei b'rak az lageshet el Hashem ulitim itmaktut b'sur meira mevi'a et ha'adam l'chulsha. So sounds like a Rav Kook type of thing, where he basically is saying it's really the opposite of Sur Meira Aseh Tov. You usually do Aseh Tov and then Sur Meira, and that's why Shema is first. It's very, very strange to me. It's very strange. He wants to switch the order.
Yeah, but it depends if it's from the side of the Kara or from the Maniach.
No, he's not saying this in the Rav. He's saying this separately. He's saying separately that maybe the reason why Rashi thinks it's still better to have Shema before Vayam Shema is because Shema has the Aseh Tov element. And then Vayam Shema is the Sur Meira. Like I'm saying, strange to split the pasuk in the opposite direction.
One can't help but thinking all the time that maybe the batim should have been transparent, because now it's just the power of the words. It's not you say all the time the koreh, but how can you read them?
You can't read them. That's a good point.
Where do we have it somewhere? That's
what color they have to be?
Yeah.
On the very next daf, it talks about what color they have to be. They have to be black. Agav, we didn't talk about it, but also the Ritzuot. The Gemara talks about the Ritzuot, what color the Ritzuot have to be. And has a long discussion about it. And it comes out that the outside of the Ritzuot have to be black. The inside of the Ritzuot have to be
white.
Any color except red.
White is it?
It's not so nice. People think that you bleed it, you're bleeding or something like that. But basically any color except red. Nowadays there's a level of tefillin that they're supposed to be black, so some people don't like it. They say it's not good because then you get confused which side is the outside. Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be so solid? Why is the big thing like
that it should be black?
It should be black. But also like if there's any of this cracked
as well. Halacha l'mashe misinai that it should be black, so we're extra machmir on that. And all the halacha l'mashe misinai is we try to be very machmir. Also that it has to be square and that it has to be all the other ones.
What about using the synthetic
the color?
The ritzuot, synthetic ritzuot.
What?
Synthetic ritzuot instead of
vegan ritzuot?
I've not heard of it.
Because of allergies,
allergic
to skin.
I don't know.
No, but I thought that was one of the reasons they are painting now the backside because it protects.
That's interesting.
The skin.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I don't know. Okay, let's make two more points. First of all, back to the halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch said clearly that Rashi and the Rambam are right. Nevertheless, in Sif Bet says Yarei Shamayim Yatzei Yedei Shnehem. Somebody who is fearful of God will try to do both. Don't worry. Hold on. V'yaseh shtei zukot tefillin v'yanech shneihem. Two tefillin. Wear both them. Now, what does he mean when he says that? At the same time. V'yichaven v'anachatam b'otam shem aliba d'hilchata ani yotzei d'chobato v'ashar hem k'ritzut ba'alma k'makom yesh b'rosh l'anech shtei tefillin.
Wow.
You wear two of them at the same time.
You can't have the name.
And just have in mind that you only yotzei with one of them because there's room in the head. Now, all the people that are like, okay, it's got to be right there, so it's hard to imagine, right? But
surrounds. They wear the one in front of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny little
ones,
exactly. And you also have to wear two arm ones. Vim eino yodeh lechavein ha-makom l'aniach shneim yachad, yaniach kedever echad shal yad v'shal rosh, v'inach ha-acherim al smach bracha rishona. And you switch them out. Lo yuchal l'aniach bevat achad, yaniach...
You have two on the same ritzuah.
I have no idea. Maybe this is the 64. Maybe this is the 64 of the Gra. Rabbi, maybe this is the 64.
It can't be in the middle.
Maybe this is the 64 of the Gra, all the different ways you can actually put them on.
No, they're like horns. They won't be in the middle.
Horns.
Yeah, imagine you end up having two things over there. It has to be in between. Yeah, you can't have them both.
Have you seen people wearing two?
Yep.
So now, So it says, "Lo yuchal aniach bevat achad yaniach shorashi v'yivarech aleihem v'yuala b'shat kriyat shma u'tfila v'achar tfila yaniach shabinatam b'lo bracha v'ikarei b'hem shema." So you switch only after davening, and then you just say shema, and that's it. Now, siv gimel v'lo yaseh kein elamisha mochzek b'mufursam b'chasidut. Nobody should do this except people who are before some chassidut. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah has to say. So this is the Chavetz Chaim. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'achar ha'tfilah." Now he gets very upset. He says, "Hainu k'dina b'vor b'le'el v'semin kaf heisif yud gimel v'lo ke'elu achotzin tefillin derashi u'menichan derabinatam teichaf l'achar kedusha shel yud chet u'bemet milvad shosin shelo k'dina b'vor le'el gam tzarich l'chavein b'tefillat yud chet l'ashas lo nasak b'davar acher." Quoting the Prima Gadim, says. These people, they're switching their tefillin out in the middle of Chazaras Hashat. It's a disgrace. You have to pay attention to Chazaras
Hashat. You see that a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
I think it's Chassid. No, I think Chassid.
Yeah.
It's really the biggest problem people are doing during Chazaras Hashat.
Actually, it would prevent them from talking. So that's one thing. The other thing, Hainu, this is on the last part.
When we only take tefillin off after Bolatzian, surely it should also be that they should also take tefillin off after.
After Kaddish.
After Kaddish, right.
After Chazar B'Shas.
So the Mishnah Berurah says also about the last point. He says, "Hainu afilu yirtzel hanicham." Even if you want to put them on, v'akachar atfila. Even afterwards, v'katav. Then you can't. V'katav be'aretev be'ish echad she'enoeg lahaniach tefillin derabinatam la'achar atfila b'farhesya b'fnei kahal im mechzik yura pasak. So somebody asked the be'aretev Sorry, someone asked if you can put them on after davening in front of everybody. Excuse me. Pasuk b'tshuva sam arasha Levi the mechziki yora v'tzarech shiva atal min hago. Can't do it. V'kal kasa b'tshuvas Yaakov shafil miktas osin yesh bo mishum yora v'emini yichan b'fnei adam gadol she'noeg lehanichan ki im k'kara beito v'adam mechziki yora. If you do it in front of somebody who doesn't do it themselves and they're a bigger gadol than you, then for sure it's yora. Now the ma'isa, people who do it, do it. People who don't do it, don't do it. People who do it are chassidim, chabad do it, you know, by rote. That's what they all do. Supposedly, Rav quoted a, there's a tshuva by Moshe, I didn't look it up, where the Babamcha Rebbe wrote to him asking why he doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam. And Rav Moshe wrote back that he used to in Luban when he was in Russia, and then they got worn out or they got ruined, and he just never got a new pair. And he says, so I stopped wearing them, so I don't wear them anymore, but if you can get a sofer to write me a pair like I want them written, not like you have them, because apparently there were some differences, you'll say different things, then I would wear them. I don't know whether
that's
he
a
actually
very unusual
had it done
response,
or not.
Isn't it?
Like, why didn't he just do it himself?
Like, if there was a value to him doing it, I mean, where else in Judaism? Yeah, so, yeah, they got a bit worn out, so I stopped doing it.
Most stuff in the New York City would do it for free.
No, to be fair, if they got worn out in Russia, I can understand, so he couldn't get another pair. Well, once he was in New York, once he's in New York, why didn't he go out and get another pair? Because it's only a chumrah. Because it's only a thing like this.
It reflects something about it.
For sure. For sure. Okay, the last thing I have on the sheet wonders, wait a second. There aren't only two shitas here. There's four shitas. It's
starting to bring it to switch.
So this is the Rav Chaim Brisk, apparently, in the Emek Bracha. So this is what he writes. This is what is we're recording in his name. So he wonders, why are we only worried about Rashi and Binatam? We don't worry about Shimusha Rabba and the Ravid. I don't understand. What do you think?
Eastern Europe, they couldn't afford four pairs. Okay. It was enough to buy two.
No,
but why is it nobody? Why is
it
just mirror
images?
Yeah. Okay, good. So they're the same, but just mirror images. So he says, basically, based on our Gemara, actually, which we didn't really totally finish, but the Gemara says that to do it out of order is pasul, which is what Rabbeinu Tam has said as well. Actually, no, Rabbeinu Tam is not. The Rambam. The Rambam is not helpful. But basically, to do it out of order, meaning to switch the order a little bit. So that's not okay. In other words, according to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam is pasul. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi is absolutely pasul. Question is, according to Rashi, is the Shimusha Rabba okay? According to Rabbeinu Tam, is the Ravid okay?
The order's the same.
So Rav Chaim implies that it's fine because basically it's just switched, it's just turned around. So Miniach, Kore, he basically implies that B'diavad, it would be okay to turn it around. In other words, if you put on your tefillin backwards, Rav Chaim seems to say, it's b'diavad, you don't have to put them on again.
The box was the wrong way around.
Right. Well, maybe that's not the best example. If the sofer had put them in backwards, probably would be a better example. So b'diavad, you'd be fine. So that's why there's
sure
no need to be concerned
for
that. Yeah, I'm sure it has happened. Yeah, I'm sure a sofer has opened up to, you know, at some point and said, ooh, somebody put this in backwards. I'm sure it's happened. You're right. You're totally right. So that's what he ends with.
Let's hope it's just backwards, not wrong way around.
So it's not photocopy.
Mixed up.
Right, if it gets all mixed up,
then it's possible.
So is there a way to put it? Yeah. Well, if you found Kadesh in the middle, then you'd know that it's possible according to the Kuryat.
Everyone.
Good. We'll stop there. There's more good stuff on the next stuff of the Gemara. Maybe we'll do it next time. I don't know. We'll see. Because this is where all the halachos of tefillin come from. So,
it's
really good stuff over here. What?
Some
of the
extra
endurance. Yeah, so most of them will come from over here. And the next stuff. The next stuff has more brachot. And after that, there's also the brachot. So maybe we'll do that next time. Or
song and everything. See. And then also, where does that come from?
I don't think there is a defined size.
I read that.
You've seen really small ones and you've seen really big ones, no?
Seems to be the
thing I read there about
really. You have to be able to write the claf.
Great.
You hither to have a big one.
You spoke to me not
I don't know, maybe that's common sense. I don't know. I don't know.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
The idea of wearing these extra sets to
say, we think this.
It's the kind of chumrah that you take on when you have no chumrahs left to take on.
Right, but is it like being bulk eyeball?
That's what Yuhara means, meaning if you have the wrong person. Okay, so, you know, I think this is the gist of what you're asking. If I were to put it on, everybody agrees it's Yuhara. So why isn't that Yuhara when Rav Moshe puts it on? Isn't he saying that, look at me, I can do it? So maybe people, I don't have a great answer, but Rav Moshe does write at the beginning of his tshuvas that, you know, why am I writing the set of tshuvas? Who am I to write the set of tshuvas? The answer is people come to me with questions. So obviously, I'm the one who needs to answer them. So, you know, you don't have to be an idiot to be humble. Yeah. Shkoyach.